Hobart Consoline ran his hand over the wide, gleaming surface of the desk. His desk now, as it had been Bunny Thornbuckle's, and before that, Chemtree Altman's, and felt a glow of satisfaction. His Delphine now had the suite Miranda had occupied, and to him had come every perquisite he had once envied, from the skilled, silent staff to the deference of those who had been his peers and were now his subordinates. He had worried when he saw Brun and Buttons both at the Thornbuckle tables, but neither of them had offered to speak, and however they had voted, the Count had gone his way. Their own uncle supported him, for a specific reason, but that didn't matter. He would have appointed new ministers for legal affairs and internal affairs anyway. He would have appointed new judges. There were certain legal actions in progress within his own sept which made that prudent. If Harless benefited, and assumed it was all for his own benefit, well, that was a cheap profit, and he had never scorned a cheap profit in his life. He leaned back in the chair and gave himself up to reverie for a few minutes. He was relatively young, and with the aid of repeated rejuvenations, he would remain young and powerful. They had seen what happened with a succession of speakers generations back, and then what happened when they made leadership hereditary with the Altmans. Prosperity had followed prosperity, an upward trend with only minor adjustments. But no one had yet seen what he would show them, the stability and wealth that would come with one leader who would never fade into senility.
Year after year, decade after decade, here to serve and protect, to guide and lead.
Hobart sat up, scowling. That was the future, but now he had to deal with the problems his predecessors had left him.
My lord, Colonel Bayadol, head of the Special Security Unit, would like a meeting.
Send him in.
He would show them how hard a real leader worked. He would be tireless for the good of the realm, as he had been tireless for the good of his family and his sept. And realistically speaking, given the importance of his sept in the economy of the realm, what was good for the Consolines could not help but be good for the rest. At least most of them. Bayadol came in with a crisp salute and heel click that convinced Hobart the man was efficient.
But is he smart? Is he tireless?
My lord, I thought you might like to be brought up to date on the investigation into the death of Lord Thornbuckle.
It was those New Tech terrorists. I can't imagine why you haven't caught them yet.
My lord, the preliminary investigations have found no trace of anyone from any of the worlds on which they operate being on Castle Rock since the Rangers were brought to this system for trial.
Then the investigators are incompetent. What does it take, a bright red stripe painted on someone's head? They threatened to kill the Speaker, and the Speaker was shot. What more do you want?
Bayadol looked at him in a way that made Hobart feel uncomfortable.
Evidence for a start.
You have evidence. Lord Thornbuckle's dead body. The damage done to Sir Mahoney, to the vehicle.
Yes, my lord. But none of that points to the New Texas God-fearing militia. We've no indication on travel manifests on hotel registers that they were here.
If they weren't here, they must have hired someone.
According to our best sources, they do not hire criminals to work for them. And what we know about the types of weapons used does not fit with them either. They like direct confrontation. It'd be far more likely to walk up to an intended victim on the street.
Excuses. Although, if it wasn't the militia, I can think of another disruptive element it might be.
Yes, my lord. Anything you could suggest?
Ageists. Lord Thornbuckle was a rejuvenant, and so was his wife, a multiple.
Bayadol's gaze shifted to Hobart's ear.
These are jewelry, Colonel. I support rejuvenation, of course. Any sensible man does. And a man in my position must wear his colors, so to speak. I will rejuvenate when I need to, in another 10 years or so. I'm quite a bit younger than Lord Thornbuckle was. In the meantime, these rings...
Hobart touched his ear.
These rings reassure the older rejuvenants that I am serious when I support their interests.
I see, sir. And do you think it possible that ageists assassinated Lord Thornbuckle because he was rejuvenated? Does this mean you think they will attack you?
I don't think it was ageists. I think it was the New Tex militia, as I told you. But if I'm wrong about that, I'd look at the ageists next.
I was hoping, my lord, that you might share some insights into possible elements among the seated families. Perhaps Lord Thornbuckle had aroused a particular animosity there. He seemed a popular speaker, but there's always someone.
Hobart waved his hand.
Minor resentments, perhaps. Certainly there were those who felt he misused Familius' resources in going after his daughter the way he did. A number of us thought so and expressed ourselves at the time. But I'm not aware, and I wouldn't be necessarily, since I've little to do with the internal workings of Barraclough Sept, of anything serious enough to cause someone to kill him.
Very good, sir. Thank you, my lord, for your time.
Catch those killers, Colonel, and I'll see you get a medal.
Instead of the eager grin Hobart expected, Bydarlan gave him a dark, brooding look before turning away. Strange fellow. Perhaps not as efficient as he had seemed. Several days later, Hobart found himself glaring at the same desk he had coveted so much. That was the natural result of having to deal with obstructive fools, he told himself. A man had a right to have ministers he could work with.
Now, why should any of Bunny Thornbuckle's appointees expect to stay in office if they're going to cause me trouble?
They should have learned from his first dismissals and replacements, but still they obstructed him. They would have to go, root and branch. He was not going to deal with any more of this insubordination. Hobart considered his options.
Who should be replaced first?
Defense had been making noises lately about rejuvenation in the enlisted ranks, something about aged NCOs going crazy or something. Their idiot medical branch had put a hold on all rejuvenations and seemed to be determined to investigate thoroughly. He'd pointed out to Irian Solinari that it would be expensive and inefficient to hold a prolonged investigation into something like that, and that it would be better to cut their losses and simply discharge the affected personnel as medically unfit. But Solinari argued. Solinari did nothing but argue, Hobart thought, remembering that Solinari had also argued with Bunny, who had appointed him. Just a difficult personality, and not one suited to a responsible position like Minister of Defense. If Solinari went, if he had his own choice as defense, then he could also ease out the more difficult of the admirals. Perhaps their rejuvenations would fail. Those had all been done with the original Guernsey drugs, so if they failed, it would take the burden of public opinion off the Patchcock connection. They didn't actually have to fail. If only Fleet could be persuaded to take them off active duty out of concern about the rejuvenations. Right now, the medical branch and senior officers were being completely unreasonable, and Solinari was backing them up. Or stirring them up. He wasn't sure which. Solinari definitely had to go. He opened his private pad and began drafting a letter to Solinari, explaining his reasoning. He didn't want to be harsh, but the man had to realize that he was just not qualified. And even if he had been, his negative attitude, his contentious nature, made him unfit.
More in sorrow than anger.
Not that Solinari had any friends worth worrying about. A bunch of backbiting, acid-tongued non-entities in the minor families, that was all. They'd soon find out what they were dealing with.